most original talk radio station anywhere. We are LA Talk Radio at latalkradio.com.
You're listening to Question Reality.
Question Reality.
With Priscilla Leona.
Priscilla Leona.
Only on LA Talk Radio.
Hi, welcome to Question Reality. I'm your host, Priscilla Leona, and we are coming to you live from Hollywood, California. Our show is broadcast every Sunday from 5 p.m. to 5:50 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. Now, if this is your first time tuning in, our show will help you to question your career reality. This show is for you if you were, are, or might be considering a career in the entertainment industry. Our guests provide advice and tips and resource information on how and what it takes to pursue a career in show business. I couldn't get that out. I lost all air in my body for a moment. Now, our guests work in various professions of the entertainment industry, so what that means is that we will definitely have someone on the show from a career that you are interested in. And you can find all of that out because if you want to check out the past guests, read their bios, listen to their interview instantly, or download one of the shows, go to the LA Talk Radio website, which is latalkradio.com. And if you're listening to this show live, you're already there. So you go to the top of the website, click on the link that says Channel 1, scroll down, look for the graphic of our show, Question Reality, and click on the link. And this takes you directly to our archive page where you can view the list of all of our past guests. We have little descriptions of the guests, so you can go exactly to the ones that you're interested in, like producers, directors, models, actresses, you name it, writers, novelists, comedians, it's all listed, so you can choose the ones very, very easily. It's very user-friendly. And our shows also are available for download on iTunes under the podcast section. So when you're on iTunes, just type in Question Reality Radio, and there we are. You can download them from there as well. If you want to find out more about our future guests, and I just have to say thank you every week because this show has become so popular and I'm so, so happy. We are booked usually, no kidding, 6 months to a year in advance. Do you know I'm already booking my very last date for March of next year, and then I'll be going on to April. So it's a great thing. Thank you, everybody. I'm so glad you love the show, and I get so many great emails from people. So thank you so much for listening. I'm so glad you like it, and I am so happy that my guests have been able to help so many people. I think I'm going to start next year. I'm going to redesign the website and start putting up the post of all of the people that have sent me emails and told me what a great show it was that they listened to and how it really helped them get a perspective on their career. So look forward to that next year. If you want to check out the website directly to see the upcoming guests, go to questionrealityshow.com. Questionrealityshow.com, that is the official website. And we will be posting all of the guests for the new year, probably around October. So you want to look for that. Now, we have a fantastic guest for you today. Her name is, I love this name. It makes me smile every time I say it. It's Nancy Criss. Who doesn't love that name? That is a totally cool name. That is a star name if I've ever heard one. Her name is Nancy Criss. She is, among other things, she's an actor, a producer, a director, and she's also president and co-founder of Nandar Entertainment. And I am going to go into my advertisements, but I want you to pull up her website while I am doing that, unless you really want to listen and learn something. But her website is nancycriss.com, nancycriss.com. Also, Nandar Entertainment.com, NANDARENTERTAINMENT.com, NancyCriss.com, and NandarEntertainment.com. And we are going to talk to her in a couple minutes, but I got some interesting stuff for you guys for around the town. Let's see. Now, a lot of people have said, when are you going to have some more voiceover people on? So I don't have anyone scheduled for the rest of this year, but I do have a couple of people scheduled for next year. And again, you'll be able to see that schedule in October. But I do, however, have some classes. One class I want to tell you about if you are curious about voiceover work. You know, as an actor, you want to get work wherever you can, and voiceover work is wonderful. If you want to make the step to being a working actor, why not try this way? If you're looking to get your voiceover career back on track, going to classes always is a way to do that. And a lot of people are scared of it. So going to a class, you can actually demystify your path to get voiceover work consistently. So a lot of working actors everywhere have made voiceover work their bread and butter. And believe me, you get paid a lot of money and you can get work frequently. It is a wonderful, wonderful career. And for the ladies, you don't have to wear makeup. Yay! Or a push-up bra. Yay! Or heels. Super yay! There is a voiceover workshop with casting director, producer, and manager Sherilyn Carter. And that is coming up on Saturdays. Now get your pen and paper or however you jot things down. And those days are Saturdays, October the 1st, October the 8th, October 15th, and October 22nd. So I would imagine that's every Saturday in October. So October 1st, 8th, 15th, and 22nd. And the class starts at 4:30. And the location is at 2703 West Olive Avenue in Burbank. 2703 West Olive Avenue in Burbank. It's a four-week session, and I tell you, this is really a good price for those of you who don't know what a good price is for a voiceover class. It's only $225. So that really is a good price. Break it down into four classes, and you'll see what I mean. Now, a little bit about Cheryl. Cheryl Carter has produced and cast hundreds of television commercials, including Super Bowl ads. She does radio and interactive spots at TBWA Chiat Day in Los Angeles, and she's been doing that for almost 14 years before she branched out on her own with Precision Talent. And she produces, right now she's producing audio. She also coaches voiceover talent. She casts commercial projects. And she's also, Cheryl is the founder and president of Precision Talent Voiceover Management. And her company centers on educating and empowering voiceover talent, I guess, as well as marketing them, because that's part of the process, marketing them to different media forms. And as president, she oversees the acquisition of all the talent, the coaching, the marketing, as well as the day-to-day administration. And she's also a creative director and a casting director and producer for all audiobook and multimedia audio production. So she has her hands on everything, and she makes sure nothing gets out of there until it is absolutely 100% perfect and you are ready to book a job. So she's spoken at the Actors Network. If you go to those seminars that they have, she's been there. She's been a speaker at UCI, CLU, and UCLA. And she is holding classes at ACW. And this workshop, again, when you go to these things, that's Actors Creative Workshop, ACW. At the workshops that you go to, they're not job interviews or auditions. And even though they have casting directors, agents, managers, they don't guarantee you or promise you employment. So you know that the class is solely educational. So you want to check this out. The website is trulyacting.com, trulyacting.com, and you can find out all of the payment plans that they have, or you can pay, or you can email them at info@actorscreativeworkshop.com, info@creativeworkshop.com. So I've had a couple of people have taken Cheryl's class on a personal note, and they said she's really good, and she's fun, too, which is very important. You don't want a stuffy old person teaching you anything. Next, on October the 3rd, Film Independent presents the 2012 Director's Lab. This is so exciting if you are a director, or if you want to be a director. It is an intensive 8-week program running in Los Angeles in February and March, and it is designed to help directors who are prepping their feature films with a primary focus to learn to work with actors and the rehearsal process, because a lot of them don't even have that experience or have had it, but they find it a little difficult adjusting to the process. So the deadline to apply for this is Monday, October the 3rd, and it's Film Independent. It's 9911 Pico Boulevard, 11th floor, Los Angeles, California, and it's $55 for members and $75 for non-members. And if you want to find out more about it, go to filmindependent.org, filmindependent.org, and you can find out all the details. But I highly recommend that to directors who want to learn more about working with actors and the whole rehearsal process, and or a person who wants to be a director. It would be really good to find it out as well. On Saturday, December the 3rd, from 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. at the Marriott, is that how you say it? Marriott. Yeah, that sounds good. Marriott Burbank Airport. There is a now, first of all, workshop speaker applications are now available. It's the Showbiz Expo. And this is the largest trade show and networking event for the entertainment industry. If you would like to conduct your own workshop at Showbiz Expo in Los Angeles, you have to fill out what's called a speaker application. Applications are due this week, September the 30th, and they also have exhibitor space available. So you want to call today and get a great booth location, and an early exhibitor booking discount is available. So you want to visit that website at theshowbizexpo.com, theshowbizexpo.com, and you can also call 212-404-2345 to get that exhibitor kit and your prices, application, and contract. So there you go. I hope this was helpful to you guys. Lots of stuff going on. We can't fit everything, but those are the ones that I thought were important for the day. Now let's get back to the show and let's meet our wonderful guest today. A little bit about Nancy. Nancy Criss is the she is Nandar's co-founder and president. She is a woman of many talents, all emanating from entrepreneurial spirit. And you got to have that entrepreneurial spirit if you want to be a filmmaker, for sure. Now, this entrepreneurial spirit, this energizes her, her ability to create opportunities from success in everything she does. This was quite evident in little Nancy at age 11 when she won a regional championship in Western horsemanship. And her love of horses and involvement in rodeo and ranching continues to this day. So she is quite a competitive little girl. Now, by the age of 13, Nancy had begun her career in show business because she had a role in the TV series Petrocelli, or is it Petrelli? I can't remember, but I think I don't know if I saw that, but it sounds so familiar. It's Petrelli. We're going to have her pronounce it. But she followed that up with a recurring role in the Paramount series Webster. Now, who hasn't seen Webster, one of my favorite shows? And before long, she was appearing in a variety of TV and feature film commercials and stage plays. And Nancy released, very exciting for her, she just released her new film, Finding Mr. Right, and it's W-R-I-G-H-T, so keep that in mind. And who doesn't want to find Mr. Right? So we all got to go see this film, because who doesn't want to find Mr. Right? Everybody. It's a romantic comedy, and it's starring Matthew Montgomery, David Moretti, and Jason Stewart, and it is receiving rave reviews. And you know, Jason Stewart, he is an upcoming guest. He's going to be on the show. He is a comedian. He's very funny, plays all around the town. So she's going to have Jason in it. You know it's going to be funny. And it's receiving rave reviews. So, congrats to Nancy. Now, she's also working on a new project, a thriller called Crimson Creek. Ooh, now I like that title. That sounds like a nice bottle of wine. Crimson Creek. I love it. Oh, it also sounds very scary, too, because it could be a big old bloodbath of a creek full of blood. So we're going to find out what it actually is. So without further ado, let's welcome you, Nancy Chris. Thank you so much for being here.
Oh, thank you. Nancy. That's an honor. What a great introduction.
Did you fall?
Thank you. You
rock. Oh, my God. I hope I didn't put you to sleep.
Oh, no. My God. That was wonderful. Thank you.
Talking.
I think you need to introduce all my radio interviews. That would be wonderful. I can take you with me, Priscilla.
I think you're right. Let's put the word out. That's going to be my sole job. Radio interview. Okay, and then Nancy comes on. Nancy, again, thank you so much for being on the show. I hope that today is very rewarding and fulfilling for the people that are listening. And I want to start out with my question first, which is what I like to ask every guest. As a little teeny-weeny girl, what type of profession did you want to pursue as a child? What did you want to be? Who did you want to be? What was going on as a child? Wonder Woman? You know, who did you want to be?
You know, Ashley, I should knock on wood, I am doing exactly what I wanted to do as a kid. And I know, you know, and that's really hard for people to say, so I count my blessings every day because, you know, from the time of little, the two things I was always into is always one, build and act, and my horses. I've always showed them and rodeoed all my life. You know, I think I learned how to ride a horse before I learned how to walk. So, you know, I'm very fortunate today to still be doing what I was doing, you know, when I was a little kid.
Well, now, how did you first know that you wanted to do that? Was it, were you watching television and you had an epiphany? Was it a play you saw? When was your first memory of wanting to be a filmmaker? What was it that sparked that interest?
Well, you know, the filmmaking process really came afterwards. That's where I got more on the creative and the producing side. You know, I like being on both sides of the camera. But at first, it was, you know, every kid, you want to act. And unfortunately, you know, I had grown up in Arizona and in Tucson, so we were out by Old Tucson Studios, which then Universal Studios was, you know, always coming in there filming. And my mom had to be friends with some of the crew. So whenever they'd come and film, we'd go out there and, you know, play cowboys and Indians, jump on the wagons, fall off, the Indians are attacking me, you know. So
right.
I grew up kind of like playing in the business and row acting just out there. So it's kind of, you know, being around it. And my very first thing, which is Petrocelli, the TV series that was with Barry Newman and Susan Hayward. And actually, first audition I ever went on, you know, my grandmother took me to it and I actually got picked for it. And I was playing a drug addict. So I was inside at Chelsea and I was just, I think then at that point, being young too, and you got paid a lot of money for just, you know, if you only said one word, you know, back then it was like 300 and something a day compared to the 700 a day now, you know, for
right.
a speaking part. But it was just like, you know, oh my God, how can you pay somebody that much money to say like one word? Because this girl, all she had to say was like, you out. And they had to keep redoing the take and redoing the take because they didn't like the way she said those two words. And I just kind of got fascinated with the whole process and, you know, and then my love of horses and competing, you know, I grew up competing and still do today. So.
Now, how did your parents feel about your chosen profession? Were they always supportive of that?
My dad more so, because my dad always wanted to be an actor and always wanted to be in the business. And, you know, he did a couple little things when, you know, before I was born and stuff. And he really had the love and passion for it, you know. And I think that was the one thing that him and I had in common the most was the love for the entertainment business and making movies. Because the very first film that we ever produced in our entertainment was a Western called Two Legends of the West that had the most notorious bad guy, Bill McKinney, from Deliverance, who's done every movie since then, and Mickey Jones, who was in Home Improvement, and I played Chris Radkin's wife from, you know, Long Ago Blue Lagoon. Everybody knows Chris from there. And I remember I was asking again at McDonald's in downtown Phoenix, and I told my dad, I said, you know, Dad, I want to make a film. He's like, what? And I said, I want to produce a film. We can do it. You know, because it's like, one thing that, you know, you always hear in this business, and I really believe it, you know, if you want to be successful in it, you need to go out and do it yourself. You know, don't sit around and wait for people to make it happen for you. Because it's not going to, you know, your agents, your managers, they try to help you get work, but just you, even as an actor, it's just much your responsibility to get out and get those roles booked, or if you want to make films, be creative, find a way to make it happen. And we did, we raised the money, and, you know, it was kind of challenging for our first film. We did a Western period piece, but it was a comedy, too. And it was a great experience, and it just kind of went from there. I mean, we did that film, and it wasn't shortly after that. I actually got a call from NBC, and actually an email. I got an email from NBC, and they were saying, you know, hey, we heard you did a Western comedy. We would like you to come in and talk to us. And they were looking at doing it as a spinoff, as a TV series. So it's like, you never know what's going to happen and how one door opens another door.
That's right. Now, if parents are not supportive of their children's choice to be in the entertainment business, and they're giving them a lot of hassle, and they're just really, I mean, you every child wants the parent's approval. If the parent does not absolutely want their child to go in the entertainment business, but your heart is just leaning that way, how does one stay committed? How do you keep that focus? What would you suggest to someone who's in that situation?
Yeah, you know, that's a good question, because I think a lot of it is your inner personal drive. Like for me, you know, my family wasn't really big into it when I was growing up. And, you know, after Patrick Kelly, I kept getting a lot of calls to do other things. But at that point, and I kind of kicked myself in the butt now, because then what I did was I was having so much fun as a kid and rodeoing and playing with my friends. I didn't take a lot of the calls, or I didn't go to, you know, I didn't accept the jobs. And it's like, you know, my parents, they were like, you know, whatever I want to do. They were pretty good about that, you know, on my end. But I know there's a lot of parents out there, because I hear and people ask me all the time, well, you know, I don't have any support from my family and my friends. I always say, you know, you know, you're wasting your time. And it's just like, you've got to keep that passion in you. And sometimes it's hard as a kid until you actually get past like 18 and you can strive and go out and really work hard to reach your dreams. But, you know, I really try to always surround myself with positive people. That's so important. And, you know, you've just got to dig deep inside yourself and hang on to your dreams, because, you know, I did that. I went through years of having no support, and even friends saying, you know, you're wasting your time, you know, you're losing money, you know, it's never going to pan out to anything. Well, it has. You know, I've been, you know, thank God, you know, the production company's doing really good. Our recent film, Finding Mr. Right, is getting great reviews. I could not be more happy with that film. But I stuck to it. And I tell you, you get a lot of no's out there. But like you hear, every no is one no closer to a yes. So it's just like, you know, you just got to dig deep and really hang on to your passion. Because in this industry, especially, you get beat down every day. And it's from the people in the industry and outside of the industry. So you really have to dig deep in your inside. And it's just, you know, life's too short.
Now,
so
do you
live it to its fullest?
Do you feel that going to film school will give you an advantage in this business, or do you feel that it really doesn't matter?
No, I think it does, because one, it's networking, and that's another big thing in this business is networking. And it's like, you know, I've taken more meetings time after time that never turn into anything, or somebody says that they can do this and they can't deliver. I mean, it's redundant in this industry. And it's just, you know, I think film school is important. I think acting classes are even important. You know, I had the opportunity to meet Doris Roberts a few years ago, and I remember her, you know, telling me today she's still, I mean, this was like 5 years ago, takes acting classes every Saturday. Well, you're talking Doris Roberts. You know, everybody knows her from Everybody Loves Raymond. You know, you would think somebody on her caliber at this point would not be taking acting lessons. So, you know, I really admire that because it's like she goes, you can always learn and perfect your skill, and you need to stay at it and work at it.
Absolutely. Now, if someone wants to pursue a career as a filmmaker, but maybe a little cautious and wants to have another career to fall back on if it doesn't work out. Maybe the parents were harassing them not to go into it, and they thought, let me have something on the burner. What career would you suggest that might be just as satisfying and lucrative, or something that might be similar? I don't know how you could do that, but what would you suggest?
Well, I mean, you can, it's working both sides of the project, you know, even if you want to be an actor, but if you're working on the production end. Because to me, even as an actor, and I think a lot of actors should take editing classes, because you learn continuity and so much about you as an actor that's not just about how, you know, how you portray your role and how you play and so forth. Production-wise and for your film, it's also continuity. And, you know, if they did this one move during this time, how important that is. So, you know, I think, you know, you have theater, you have, if you just surround yourself, maybe it's not the exact field that you want to be, but, you know, if you surround that and you network, you eventually get there. You know, I'm lucky enough now, after taking years of meetings that never went anywhere, that I am now working with, you know, Emmy-nominated and Oscar-winning producers right now. So it's like it was a long road there, but it was a lot of networking and so forth. And, you know, a lot of actors are like, well, you know, I don't want to act and not get paid to do a job. And I'm like, you should do every job, whether you get paid for it or not. It's still working your skills.
Mm-hmm.
You need to hone them. It builds your credit. There's nothing to be ashamed of in this industry. They think if I don't get any kind of money, then, you know,
they're a failure. Oh, my God, Nancy. Oh, I hate that.
I
hate that.
I'm just like, you know, who cares? Are you doing what you love to do? That's the most important thing. Are you getting to act? If you want to be an actor and you're getting to act, go do it.
You know what? I don't even, as soon as I hear an actor say that, they are so history to me. I don't even want to deal with them, because those are people who are not doing it for the love of the art, the love
right.
of the craft. They just want the celebrity. They just want mm-hmm. a name and to be known. And those are not true artists in my book. Those are not the people that I even want to deal with. So as soon as I hear that, I have no respect for them at all. Because if you're an actor, you want to act because it is the craft, the love of the art. You want to take another character. You want to become another character. You want to be all that you can be for that character, for the love of it. And you'll act whether or not people are looking or not. You'll act in your room.
Right.
You'll beg people to look at you. You'll actually pay people to look at you. That's a true actor. Not someone says, well, if I'm not getting paid, I'm not going to do it. Oh boy, that gets me mad, Nancy.
Yeah.
It really does. It's true. It's true. And those are the actors that are going to end up getting the Greyhound bus right back to Hackensack or mm-hmm. wherever the hell they're from, because
either that
or they'll end up on reality television.
There you go. You know, it was funny is, you know, after True Legend, you know, I had the opportunity to go to the Academy Awards, and that was exciting. And that's what kind of drove me too, because, you know, sitting in the audience and actually being at the Academy Awards and, you know, people going up on stage, it was just like, I want to find that one project. I don't have to win it, but just to be nominated, that the work that you did for recognition. You know, probably there's three things that I like best about my career, and it was from a little play that I was doing. It was Lost in the Yonkers. We were on tour around it. And when we were in Phoenix, And afterwards, I played Bella in the play, and I was walking out, and the elder couple was in front of me, and they didn't know I was behind them. And I heard the one lady say to the other, "Oh, that dim-witted girl was really good." And I'm thinking, well, that's what my character was. So if I really had her believing that I was a dim-witted person that was just playing that role,
right,
that was like the greatest compliment to me, you know. And then I had one lady tell me in Tucson that I reminded her of Diane Keaton. What another great. There's just these little moments that make it worthwhile. And my mom's one of those tough 4'11", just tough women, hardcore. And they're like, "Your mom cried." I'm like, "I've never seen my mom cry." So I'm able to make her cry through the play, through a play. Those in my life are like three major things to me. That's all I care about. I don't care about the money or anything else because, you know, I love what I'm doing. And I took a long road there. I started a delivery service in Arizona, and I spent 5 years building it up and making a lot of money so that it would allow me the time and money to go pursue my dreams. So then it just happened overnight, and I kind of took the curve, like we were talking about a little while ago, about having another career to fall back on or so forth. My whole goal with that company was to build up financial freedom in time so that I could go make my movies, so I could take off and, you know, go do a film, whether it was acting or producing.
That is a really excellent piece of advice, because a lot of young people just want to jump right into it and do filmmaking, and they either, one, don't have the equipment that it takes, or don't have the money to be able to rent the equipment, or they have so much strife from worrying about how to pay the rent, how to eat, and then they give up. A lot of them do, because they just want to get in, they want to get to it and get it done and do it now, and they do not have the funds and resources to do it.
Right.
So I like how you're offering
that's where, you know, money is driving their passion, and
that's
you can't,
right.
You know, and depending on where you want to be, you know, if you want to be in this business for the long haul, you know, well, I'm 51 now, so I've been in this business for a while, and I'm still here. You know, knock on wood. And it's every year it gets better.
Right.
You know, and it's just, but yeah, you've got to be smart about it. If you want to be in the business for the long haul, you know, two things. I think you need to have something to fall back on, because there's so much stress in this business to begin with. You don't need it when you're out there trying to act and, you know, during your act, you're thinking, you know, I got to get this job. If I don't get this job, I can't make my car payment. I mean, you know, I just don't think you can have that stress and be that successful, I guess, unless you're one of those 100 million that get picked out of the car and just happen to make it, you know. But
what do you suggest for the person who – see, you just used that word business, and a lot of a lot of people who are artists, they are artists and they lack the business acumen.
Right.
And there are some that are very lucky that can balance both. But as we say, show business, it is show business. You have to have the ability to manage your business. And part of your business is making sure that you can have a job to be able, some sort of job to be able to pay your rent and your bills, so you don't have that stress along with the stress of trying to make a film. So how do we get the point across to these people? Because a lot of people just think that they can come here and that it's automatically going to happen. What can we tell them? I mean, how can they, if they don't have, if they weren't born with a silver spoon, they have no money, they came here with just the money. I mean, not to say we don't want to discourage them and say you're not going to make it, but what can they do to get it going?
Yeah, you know, I wish I had that little magical wand that would say, "Wake up, people! This is a business just as much as it is as an artist industry. It's almost business before your craft." because you've got, you know, even when you're in it, it's a business, you know, whether you're trying to book jobs or be a filmmaker, whatever, it's still the business aspect. You got to treat it like a business, and you're your own commodity. And it's like, you know, so many people, and I hear it all the time, they're so mad at their agents or their managers that are not just booking them jobs. You know, well, right there, too, is, you know, you got to really find it and go to and match up somebody that works for you. Just don't take the first agent manager because you're desperate just to have one. Because, if you have an agent manager, you're an actor now just because you have an agent and a manager.
It doesn't work that way. That is so true, because you don't know how many people I run into who just came here from another state, and they think, oh my God, I have to get an agent or a manager. I have to. And they think that once that happens, that's going to be the end all for their career. They're going to be launched to stardom. But an agent and a manager, first of all, a legitimate agent manager are only going to take on people that have established credits. So first of all, if anybody takes you on and you have like 4 credits on your resume, you have not progressed at all. You have pretty much are with somebody that is going to be sucking the little bit of money out of you that you are lucky enough to get, right?
Yeah, because they're going to talk in, you need new headshots, you need new resumes.
That's right.
So it's such a scam in LA.
It's called payola, people. If you go, if you sign with someone and they take you on and you're like, wow, I was really lucky. I only have 3 credits on my page and they're all from my high school play. Well, you know what? You're not lucky. You are,
no.
I don't want to say dumb, but you are not thinking logically, because these are people who are going to say, oh, you know what? I like your pictures, but my friend John Smith can do a better job. And for $550, and no agent or manager should ever really recommend any of those people. You go, you get shots, you come back, and then you take it from there. But let's talk about characteristic traits. Now, I very much am a believer, and I do believe this to be true. You do have to have certain characteristic traits that are complementary or fit into the career that you have chosen. If not, if you're going to be a mortician, for example, you certainly don't want an upbeat, perky, bubbly mortician, right? So if you have those characteristic traits, that's not the job for you. And vice versa. Now, if what are three characteristic traits do you feel that it takes to be a really good filmmaker?
Wow. You know what? Listen. I think that's a big one.
Which
because,
one? What did you say?
Listen. You have to listen. Not be always the one talking. Also be a listener. Because you know, one of the things when we did Finding Mr. Right, the idea as a director is I like to see what my actors can bring to the table. So I'm one of those rare directors where it's just, and I heard it from a lot of the interviews that we did afterwards from the actors that's on our Blu-ray version. They're like, one of the things that they like best about Nancy is because I allowed them to come to the table and see what they had. I just didn't have a mindset, and neither worked or didn't work. But I allowed my actors the room to have creativity with their characters. So some of the things that they did and that actually wound up making the cut of the film weren't even in the script.
Right.
And, you know, this film by far was the best cast and crew I have ever worked with. We had no problems. The crew was very professional. Everyone came prepared, and that's so important. It's like, leave the egos at home. You know, that's a big characteristic trait for me, is come to work, be prepared, leave your ego at home. And it's like, you know, to me, it's very important you treat everybody equal on set. I don't care if you're the PA or star of a film. I don't want to hear anybody talking down
to anybody with
respect. Everybody is treated equal. And it's like, you know, come to set on time. be prepared, be professional. That is so important. Be courteous, be professional, and, you know, things run so much smoother. So, you know, to me, it's like leaving your ego at home. Don't hold up production, you know, be in, especially as an actor, and even my crew, be prepared. You know what's happening that day, and, you know, it blows me away on this film. We did not have to do one single take, Priscilla, retake, because an actor didn't know the line.
Oh,
I've never been on a film
where
that didn't happen.
Wow.
Yeah. Wow. Even my DP was like, these actors are incredible. Ooh. I said, I know. He goes, for every single person, I don't care how small you were, they were so phenomenal, so professional. You know, I would hire them in a heartbeat. And that's so important because, you know, especially as an actor, you want to be able to get rehired. You know, you see a lot of films where you see a director always working with the same actor.
That's right.
You know, and that's because, you know, that you have great chemistry, you work well together. And I do that with my crew. I use the same crew from project to project. I don't care, you know, what film I'm shooting.
Oh, my God!
You know, I always use the same crew because, I mean, they literally know what I'm thinking at this point.
Right. If you,
you
find
know?
Somebody that works really well. You know, I want to talk about that real quick for a second, because when I first started out, I started out in theater. And what I noticed, and what me and the other we were in, like, you know how they have cliques, not only in film but in theater.
Mm-hmm.
So what's our little clique?
Yeah.
We used to talk about how some of the directors always use the same people. And I was not, at that particular time, I was more of like I was starting out as the assistant director. So I was listening to the actors complaining about that. And being new in the business, I thought, I would just think that it was because they really like the people and they like working with it. But we saw that happen mm-hmm. over again. So a couple of the actors said, you know, nepotism, nepotism. And I kind of thought, well, I better think about that for a while, because I think they should give other people a chance. But now I completely understand it, especially out here in LA, because you're afraid to work with new people because you don't
yeah.
know how to show up. I mean,
no,
I have talked
true.
To people. I have talked to people that were so nice and gave me a whole snow job about stuff, and then they never show up at all. And
mm-hmm.
so, you know, you're afraid. You want to work with people who are dependable, reliable, and produce the same top quality material. So that is something for you people. If you find good people to work with, keep them on, and don't even worry if somebody says you're participating in nepotism, because that's not true, first of all.
It's not, and we're not doing it for that reason. It was doing it because they're talented and they're professional. They show up to their job on time. They know their lines, you know, or crew-wise. They show up. They're prepared to work.
Right.
And, you know, it's just...
If they're a good... keep them. You know what, Nancy, I want to, we only got a couple more minutes because we got to end at 5:50, so I want to get in one question, and then we're going to go on to talk about Finding Mr. Right in Crimson Creek. I'm going to answer one question that we got for you today. It's from a gentleman named Lewis in Seattle, Washington, and he says, dear Nancy, how do you think female you know how they send emails? I can never read them. How do you feel, grammatical problems, how do you think female filmmakers' choice of films to make has changed from their inception of filmmaking, or has it? What the hell does that mean? Well, how do you think?
No, I'm not really sure.
Okay, I think he's saying, Louis, you need to go back to English class. Love you, but this doesn't make sense. Okay, I think what he's saying is, as a female filmmaker, do you think that films have changed from when they started to now? Like, I would guess. I'm going to take this question over.
What I would say is not so much that films have changed.
Yeah,
but the opportunity for females is definitely better now than what it was, you know, even 10 years ago. It's, you know, the doors as a director, you know, we're still nowhere where I think we should be. But I think it's definitely easier now than what it was even 5-10 years ago. I think it's definitely, you know, changing. And that's just, but I think a lot of it's because there's, you know, we look at, there's not a lot of women that do it. So then you look at the odds of, well, it's such a male dominant, but if there's not a lot of women trying to break into it, then our numbers still look low. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And excuse me, that is not Louis. That's Louise. Sorry about that. Louise, you still got to write your emails better. I would imagine she's talking about in the inception of when women were making films, they pretty much would, you know how the studios would just automatically say, okay, well, they can do comedies or romances. Not even going to touch a thriller. I mean, you're not even going to touch an action film. Forget about it. So do you think, I guess Louise was saying, do you think that it's changed and more women are getting those opportunities from the studios is what I was thinking. And I'm going to answer that too. I think they most certainly have. I mean, what was the Big Blue Sea or The Rising, or it was a huge movie maybe in 2005 or 6, but it was about the world coming to an end or something. Oh my God, I probably should have had a rough. But anyway, yes, I do see a lot more.
I think it's changing. Well, look, our next film, I'm not directing it, though, I'm producing, but it's, a thriller. That we're heading up, but I definitely think the opportunity is out there.
Let's talk about that. Finding Mr. Right. What's it about? Just give us a brief overview of what Finding Mr. Right is about, and how can we see it? What's going on?
Yeah, it's we just released it on DVD September 1st. And it's doing really well. I think we've gotten like 5-6 reviews in that are all really well. I think if you go to Finding Mr. Right, themovie.com, you can click on it and then you'll see reviews on there and also where you can buy the DVD. But
Can we watch it on Netflix, Amazon? Where can we go?
No, we haven't released it there. We'll be going. We're in the midst of talking about a television deal right now. We already have, distribution for the film. The Netherlands just picked it up. We're in with Germany right now. So it's doing well. I mean, it by far exceeded my expectations because it was just a little independent film that's based on, a guy that's wrapped up in his career and, afraid to, take that step outside his comfort zone and stuff. So, and it was kind of a fluke how it came to me because the writer had actually got off of inktip.com, which is a great site for finding scripts. And
what is it called?
It's inktip.com.
E-T-I-P?
Right. INKTIP.com. Great site because actually Crimson Creek I got from a writer off of there too.
I'm gonna write that down. Sorry. Can you spell it one more time? E.
Sure. It's ink, like from a pen. Ink.
Oh, ink.
I N K. So it's INKTIP.com.
Okay, got it.
You can do. You have to be in the industry and they approve you, and then you can research all the scripts on there. There's a lot that are guild writers on there or non-union and with these projects non-produced. Anyhow, he had Jake. I had got another thrill from him, and he contacted me and he's like, "Hey, I know you'd work with Matt Montgomery on Fear House, and I have a script that I think you'd be good lead in." He goes, "Would you mind having them look at it for me?" So it's one of those network things where you find somebody that knows somebody, And I said, "Yeah." I said, "Let me read it and first, and then I'll take a look at it and I'll pass it on to Matt for you." Well, when I read it, I just loved the story. So I said, "Would you have anybody producing this or directing it?" And I said, "No." And I said, "Well, I would love to direct and produce it." And so that one just kind of fell across on my desk.
Wow.
And a year later, we have it made, and it's off, and it's doing great. And before the DVD was even release. We already made like a third of our budget back. I mean, it's
wow, that is
released a couple weeks ago.
Wow, that is incredible.
Yeah.
We're going to have you come back and tell us how you got your money back before you've even done anything with it.
We actually got some pre-sales.
Oh, my
which
God.
Which is really hard to do. And
oh,
we're doing
my
that
God.
With Houston Creek, too.
We got to – oh, so. You are – oh, Nancy, you are coming back next year. And
all
tell
right,
us what your
anytime.
Secret is. You have to promise me you're coming back to tell us.
Oh,
how
of course.
That. Hey, I want to talk to you. It is 5:50. We actually have to go, but real quick, you got a new thriller coming out, Crimson Creek. Tell us about it in like 30 seconds. 30 seconds.
Oh, my gosh. It's just a real cool sci-fi little thriller. You can look for it on Facebook. Okay. If you just Crimson Creek, the movie, you'll be able to follow along. We're just doing the creature designs for it, and we're going to be probably putting up in next week the poster for it.
Woo!
So you'll be able to find out a lot about it. So I have an artist working on that, and we're just fine-tuning it and designing the creatures.
Oh, my God.
So.
Well, I am now a fan of Nancy Criss. I am a fan. So you have to promise me you're coming back next year. I'm going to book you for that last date in March, and we're going to find
out.
We're going to find out about Finding Mr. Right, findingmrrightthemovie.com. We're going to find out how Crimson Creek, how well Crimson Creek did, and we're going to find out what new projects you're working on. So I'm going to get you for next year, and we're going to talk about how you made money before the film was even finished. Thank you.
You
so
got it, sweetie.
Much.
I'll be happy to.
Thank you so much for coming on, Nancy. You were a wonderful, spectacular guest. God bless you, and I hope that these two films rock and that you rock, that you are walking the red carpet and sitting on Steven Spielberg's lap at any time.
There you go. That's right. Move over, boys.
Move over, boys. Here comes Nancy Criss. Go to
That's her. Right.
Nancy Criss.
And I'm bringing Priscilla with me, so
That's
move over.
Right. Sandar Entertainment, Nancy Criss. Thank you, everyone. Say goodbye, Nancy.
Bye-bye. Thank you.
You're listening to Question Reality.
Question Reality.
With Priscilla Leona.
Priscilla Leona.
Only on LA Talk Radio.